Thank you for listening to this message from Hope Fellowship in Carrollton, Texas. We pray this message encourages you and impacts your life. Feel free to pass this MP3 along to your friends and family. And for more information, visit us on the web at hopedfw.com. Due to technical difficulties, the beginning of this message was not recorded.
When we pray for Christ to be revealed in others, that's really what you're doing. You're planting a seed, and then you're doing just like a good gardener would do. Sometimes you're watering, sometimes you don't pour water on it right at that moment. You got to give it a little time for that process that's going on inside that you can't see, that invisible growing that we're doing. And oftentimes people will judge someone by the outside of the cup, don't they? You know, we look at what we see. We don't know what's going on in here, what's being birthed, what's taking place. And it's a sacred thing. It's a holy thing. It's an amazing process. So in the same way that you and I were born a little tiny helpless thing, we also were spiritually birthed. And that seed, you know, the scripture says that the kingdom of God is within you. It isn't just something I walk into. We picture in our minds, and sometimes I think about crossing over from the natural to the spiritual. And God said, yes, that's true. But what is really happening is the kingdom of God is being formed within you. It's a seed. God planted it there, and he's beginning to produce it, and it's growing. And you become more and more filled with the kingdom of God, and there's less and less room for the worldly things, till all of a sudden he occupies you. And when you become filled with his kingdom, you manifest that in everything you do and say. It starts to change you. We are a peculiar people. We were created to be that. We're not just like everybody else. We are different. We are unusual. We are holy. We are priests. We're called. We have an anointing within us. And it's like, I did something for the kids. We've got a charter school and an after school, and I had been in Jackson's florist and seen this chrysalis that was put up on a little thing, a little branch, and the chrysalis was attached, and the little note with it said, this will produce the butterfly on the 10th of May. They usually arrive in the morning. And having never seen this happen before, I got the little thing and took it to the mission and shared it with the children. And I told them, this is an amazing miracle that's coming right in front of your eyes. This is a transformation. This is metamorphosis. This is what God's doing all the time. You know, we think that this just happens at death, and in a way, that's true. But this formation that's going on inside of you and me goes on all the time. Once the seed is planted, it's not just dormant. It's bringing forth something within us. And so while we watched this, or we had to go home. I left it there on the 9th, and I just couldn't wait to find out what happened. So I sent an email about 6 in the morning to find out, had the butterfly, well, by golly, the butterfly did come. And Weldon, who runs the children's ministry, had the privilege of seeing it. And it, you know, the chrysalis is tiny. It's this little bitty thing about that large. And as it began to burst out, it turns transparent, and you can see the body of the butterfly as it emerges. And then when the butterfly comes, it hangs there with one little tentacle up on the branch of the whatever we had, this little tree thing. It hangs there for about 2 hours while its wings gain strength. And then gradually, it lets go and flies. to help kids and all of us understand the beautiful transformation that God does within us is huge. To accept the fact that you may feel frumpy and that you've had a bad hair day or that things just don't, they're just not, you know, they're just not. But the glory of the Lord is within you, and you will one day be able to fly. You will be loose. The potential that God put in there is developing all the time into life-giving. And the interesting thing about the way the Holy Spirit works in man is that he not only transforms us, but he uses us as transformers. You know, when you study electricity, what's a transformer do? Come on, you guys, talk to me. What's a transformer do? It's taking one thing and turning it into another, isn't it? It's taking the power that's coming into it, and perhaps it's bringing it down to the size that it can handle, and then sending it out to do work. This is what God's doing through his Spirit in the church. He's bringing this tremendous power down. It's way beyond what you and I can understand. He's bringing it from there down to here, and he's using us as transformers to begin to send out that current of grace to others that they can receive what we have already begun to store within us that's beginning to change us and transform us. The power of God is a sacred thing. It's not something that we should use as a sideshow. We've all been through, most of you are used to the charismatic church, so you've seen many things with your own eyes. As long as we don't get too excited about the miracles and lose sight of why they're there and what God's doing, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. One of my funny stories, I've got a lot of funny stories in this journey that I've had, because God has done some very funny things with me and helped me to learn to get out of his way, to allow him to be God. I had a ministry in Houston, and I had traveled as a speaker, and we had a retreat, and all the women were there, and I got a phone call, and they said, come quick. So I came quick to find that there were seven women sitting on this lady on a bed. And I was like you. I was not all of you. Some of you are very mature in Christ. But I was a baby in Christ. And I had just started on the speaking circuit. And I had this much understanding. But I did know what God did. And I had seen him do things before. So nothing really surprised me. And I simply went up to the woman, laid hands on her, and rebuked the spirits in the name of Jesus. And I watched, and it was like a balloon. She just went like that. And I said, okay, now what? What do we do now? You know, we have driven this thing out. She is loosed. She's free. The spirit's gone. Now what? So this has been a learning process for me for the last ump years as I begin to understand how God works. And he has patiently carried me through each one of these lessons. Not that it's always the same, is it? Those of you that do ministry can vouch for that. If you think you've learned it, he'll turn around and put you in a completely different situation and you have to start all over again. The one thing you need to remember is that God doesn't want us to get in his way. When he moves, he wants the stage, and he will do it his way. Remember, Galatians 3:19 talks about why he had to add the law. He said he added the law until the seed should come to birth. It's interesting. Galatians talks a lot about the law. And Galatians helps us to understand that the seed that pops up and suddenly there's these miraculous events that take place have to then have some order put around them, don't they? If we went around and just everything we laid hands on turned to gold, we'd be like that old story, remember? Midas, everything he touched turned to gold, and boy, was he in trouble. So we don't want to go there. We want to allow God to transform us constantly, to use us as transformers and allow the power of God to be released from us. But we also need to apply his law, his rules, his order to things, which is why the church is like this and then she's like this. Do you understand church history? It's a funny thing. We seem to have to go all the way over this way, and then we have to go all the way over this way, and then we come back to somewhere and progress. Right now, she's been in a dead place, and it's almost like we've been deeply buried. We've been that little seed, but boy, it's down there. And there's been very little evidence of the presence of God in some things. Some of the things we've worked very hard and struggled with, and we're still not seeing the kind of explosiveness that we want to see. Now, you'd still, it isn't that it isn't there, and it isn't that it doesn't happen. Both things are true. But what we're seeing is a time of, I believe, discipline. We've had to come back under the law for a while, because we were kind of out there getting too excited about the wrong things. And it's God's harvest. It's God's signs. It's his miracles. It's his works. He will do it through whom he chooses, when he chooses. So we travail. And I guess I want to share with you Corinthians. If we could go to the scriptures, it's Corinthians 15. And I don't have an overhead, I'm so sorry. You know, I love this modern stuff, I'm just not equipped. I didn't bring one of them with me. But what I wanted to share with you this morning is the process that I believe we have been in as the Church of Jesus Christ is the process of dying. We are dying to self. We're learning how to do that. And as we learn how to do that, that seed that had to die has begun to take life. And it will birth. It will birth something. If you've ever seen stuff that bursts up through dry ground and you wonder how on earth did it ever, in the sidewalk or wherever else you've seen it, you know, it's like, how did that thing ever get through? Because the soil was packed and hard. We've been like that. We've been packed and hard and very hard to be released. We've been prideful. We've been completely centered on self. And then when we got this baptism in the Holy Spirit, we got so excited that we didn't know what to do with what we had, who we were. And God's trying to help us at this point in history. And I believe, just like your pastor said, that that birthing process is really under the ground right now. It is coming forth. And we will see it in ways that will leave us humbled. Because God hasn't forgotten the church. He hasn't forgotten the church in the United States. I know those of you that have known him a long time, there have been times when you just look at this and say, oh God, what is going to happen to us? We're a mess. And yet, in spite of it all, look at what he's doing. Look at what has changed even this year. It's like there's been a shift in the wind. And before I get into 15, I just will share with you briefly my travail, if I would use that word, has been that the church in so many ways didn't get it. When I first went down to the inner city, I certainly didn't get it. All I knew was that God turned some things loose there and began to very much shake my kingdom. And I watched him work. I watched things that I could never have done in the natural, things that were beyond my capacity. They were supposedly miracles, signs, things that God did, because he wanted to help me. I was such a, y'all look at me, I'm a joke when it comes to inner city ministry. Can you imagine? You know, what a laugh. You take some sweet little lady down there and plant her in the inner city, and they will laugh. So God had to do a whole lot of things for me because of who I was. And I watched him do it. The very first thing I learned, and I've said this in the book, if you read Lady in the Hood, you know the story. When we first did worship, just like you did up here just now, I had gang kids in the audience, and I was looking at them like I'm looking at you. And there wasn't a big group. There were maybe 14 teenagers. They were 16 to 18, and they were hard, and they were strong, and they were angry. And I thought, okay, there is no way that I can reach them with a word from you. There's nothing I can say that's going to do this. What I want to start with is worship, and I want to worship you with all my heart, which is what all of us are capable of doing, no matter whether we're a little old lady or something else. And so I stood there in front of this group, and I raised my hands, and I shut my eyes like I do when I worship, and worshiped from the heart with the wonderful old songs. And I was thinking in my mind, when I opened my eyes, those kids will all be gone. They have left. Well, I opened my eyes, and three of the boys that were sitting right in the front that were big and tough had tears. And what I understand is that nobody wants to be vulnerable. Nobody wants to look weak. Nobody wants to reveal pain. Nobody wants to be honest with what's going on inside. And so we put a good front on, especially those that are tough and in the streets. Men and women have to be tough. They can't be sweet. If they're sweet, somebody will step all over them. But I watched God work, and I watched him transform these kids. And I watched God use the situation. We had a retreat, and we called them up for prayer. And I had seen this in ministry many times, but with women, where that was all I had ever done before this. And here would come these big boys that were twice as tall as I was, and I would lay hands on them, and the power of the Lord moved. And one of the boys, who was a troublemaker from the word go, and very cool, he was one of the gang leaders, he came up to me, you know, with a look, and I said, okay, Lord. I lifted up my hand to lay on his forehead, and he went flat out on his rear end on the platform in front of all his buddies and everybody else who was there. And I was just standing there saying, you've got a sense of humor, Lord. The look on his face, he got back up, and this is not church talk, so forgive me when I put it the way he put it. He got right back up off the floor, and he got right close to me about here, and he looked in my eyes, and he said, what the hell was that? So that's where it went from there. It just, the lessons are constant. I still haven't learned all the things that we need to know. And, you know, he can take me home whenever he's ready. I've seen enough to know that God's world really is powerful. He's quite able to do anything he chooses his way. And if we'll just let him do it, we can become something so beyond man's mindsets. You know, we just have these mindsets. But if you feel like I felt, which is totally inept and inadequate to do anything much in my life, it's a funny thing to be where I am today and to watch him do what he does. So let's go to Corinthians and just try to follow this business of first a seed, the seed that has to be planted in the earth, the seed that has to die, the seed that when it is resurrected, if you will take on an entirely new form. And when we keep this in front of us and don't allow ourselves to get so stuck in the natural mindsets and discouraged by the fleshly stuff, this is really huge. This is what we live for. This is why we have to learn to understand what resurrection really means. What is he doing? Why is he birthing? Why do we have to die in the process in order to birth anything? What is all this? What is this cycle that God has in our lives and in the church? And I want to start in 35. It says, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one. What you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain. Perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of man, another of animals, another of fish, another of birds. Start thinking about that. Isn't that amazing? If you've ever planted seeds and you've watched the variety of stuff that comes up, it's just absolutely incredible to me. So God takes something, kills it, puts it in the ground, and produces life. How can we doubt that there's a miracle that's taken place within us, Lord? The church should never be one who's ashamed of herself or apologetic. She's a miracle. She has a life-giving process going on within her that is unstoppable. And someday it will be just like the butterfly, transformed. It won't look like that anymore. Okay, let's skip down. There's talking about the glory of the sun and the moon. 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body, it is raised in a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there's a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last man became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterwards the spiritual. There's a lot more here, but what I want to leave you with is the hope of the resurrection, the hope of this business that you've been doing, that you've been trying to plant stuff. And like anybody who gardens, the growth takes time. You mothers that are nurturers, be proud of the work that God is doing in and through you. Allow him to make you the best mother you're capable of being, whether it's with other people's children or your own, or even other adults. I have the honor and privilege of discipling adults, ones that I have no business discipling, but God has used that because my heart recognizes that it's his work. And he does wonderful things in other people's lives, as he will for you. If you'll just recognize that what's going on in you is miraculous. What's happening inside of you isn't something you could have done yourself. And aside from all the outward evidences that are there in terms of miracles and signs, God is a workman and he will get his product. You will be transformed. You will be like that butterfly. You will break out of that chrysalis. You will have a life that will be an eternal one. You will birth that kingdom of God within you, and it will suddenly grow to the point where it's bigger than you are. And at that point, you don't need to stick around. It's time to start the new life. Find out what that's all about. So be encouraged this morning, O church. Let the church be the church. That's the one thing that the enemy will never destroy, right? That's what he said. It can't, the kingdom of God will never be defeated. So you is that very thing. You is he. And you need to know that, and you need to live that way, and you need to believe it with all of your heart so that your family and friends and those all around you will see what God has done. And let him get the glory for it. Father, thank you for the transformation, for the tremendous power that you allow men to experience, Father, because you came to earth to set it loose, Father, for all the generations to come. We pray for the next generation, Lord, that you would be strong in their lives, Father, that you would draw them, Father, as this is a day of motherhood, Lord. We both, you and I, understand what mothering is and why you made mothers the way you did. Use us for your glory. Build your kingdom and give you thanks, Lord, for what you've already done and what you've got ahead of us. And we all rejoice in the name of Jesus and give him thanks. Amen.